So let's
Amen.
keep going. We have still stuff a little to talk about. We have a little bit. I just want to keep going because we go long in this call, especially when we talk a lot. And Jason, I really appreciate your participation. First of all, you're always welcome to come back. We meet every Monday night, and once a month we like to do this. So it's kind of a free for all, and we go through a message together. So let me go to what fruit is talked about to me. You know, a good list of that is in Galatians 5:22. It calls it fruit. You know, I'm led to believe that this is the fruit that Jesus wants from us. You know, because we can't make people serve God. We're asked to pray for harvesters. We can't make people work at for the Lord. We can't make people be a good disciple. It's on them, actually, between them and God. It's what we're talking about again, a personal responsibility. Can't put that on someone. All we can do is stay rooted ourselves, remaining in Christ, and then he bears fruit that should entice people to want to become, you know, a child of God. So Galatians 5:22, 23, I'm going to read this real quick, and then I want other people to, if someone wants to read John 4, just two verses, John 4, 23, 24, who would like to read that?
I can.
Okay, Pastor John, and just a minute, I'll ask you to read that. And then John 6, who'd like to read John 6, 47 to 51?
I'll read that.
Okay, Andy. Okay, so we'll get to that in just a second. Galatians 5, 22, 23, I think most everyone's heard this before. This shouldn't be anything new. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. And it's all about pursuing the Spirit, not pursuing the law. It's not about trying to make ourselves do good. It's not about doing this and doing that to make sure we're doing things right, because we all get petty. We all start in a very petty way, because usually we have parents that are petty. You know, in relation to God, unless we have godly parents, we're going to have this tit for tat. Because I did this, my parents are going to do that, and then we think God's the same way. Well, God's not a petty God. God is not about, you know, if you're doing this, I'm going to do this. No. So our focus is on being more like Christ, becoming more like him, and as a result of that, he's going to produce this fruit in our lives. We can't take credit for having peace. We can't take credit for having kindness. It's not something you can make yourself be more kind. You can't make yourself have more peace. That comes from the Spirit. So you can't generate it. Nothing you can do to manufacture this. This is something that, you know, through the Spirit, through remaining in him and worshiping him, this starts to develop in our lives. And it's a sweet aroma. Go ahead, Pastor John, read John 4, 23, 24.
But the hour is coming, and now is, for the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth.
Okay, thank you. Andy, go ahead and read from John 6, 47, and, 47 through 51, and then we'll talk about all this.
Okay. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world.
Okay, thank you. So I think these verses are key into understanding how we must worship God. It's not just about what we read in the Bible. It's more than that. It's about living. It's about taking that and living it. As Jason mentioned earlier, It's about worshiping in spirit, and it goes back to the verse that says, pray without ceasing. I think it's 1 Thessalonians 5 or something. But we are to live a life that has this truth in us where we meditate it day and night as best we can, because that's not easy to do. And then we also take that to the Lord, and the Lord teaches us how to love. He teaches us how to treat others. He teaches us how to rebuke others because of what he's given us. So we become a walking Bible in respect, because Jesus is the Word. We didn't even read John 1, but that's where it says, you know, Jesus was the Word, was with God, Jesus is God. So we need, you know, the more we put truth in us, the more we become like the Word, the more we become more like Jesus. John 6, he's talking about he is the bread, and we know that the Israelites ate that bread every day, the manna. Jesus is saying he is the bread now. So we must drink his blood and eat his flesh. To me, that the blood represents the spirit. The flesh represents the bread, which is also the Word. That's where I get that from. I like to see a parallel here. Back in the Old Testament, we have water and bread. We have water that they, you know, they drank from a rock, and then they had the bread, which is the manna, the daily bread. And in the New Testament, we have when we do this in remembrance of Him. Sorry, I'm drawing a blank. We have the wine and the bread. I don't know why I can't think of the term. But that is symbolic of the blood and the flesh. And to me, that's also the spirit and the truth. And when it comes to practical application, which we're now going to get into, is prayer and God's Word. And that's what we need to be about these days, to be about His business. So how do we live about building this foundation? And that's what I want to talk about. Any comments up until now about what I said? Okay, so we are almost done. I want to give out some more scripture references. Matthew 4, someone would like to read 18 through 22. This will go really quick, and then we'll be able to wrap it up soon. Matthew 4, 18 to 22. Someone can take that. Who would like to do that? I'll read it. I'll read Matthew 4. Jack, if you want to read Mark 2, it's even less. Mark 2, read 13 and 14.
Okay.
Thank you, Jack. And then who wants to read a real quick one? Luke 9, verse 23?
I will.
Okay, Andy. Who wants to read Galatians 2? This will go really quick. Galatians 2:20. Okay, Brooke, thank you. And then who wants to read from Romans 12, 1 through 2? It's another short one. Okay, we'll hold off on Romans 12. Matthew 4, I'll read it. Verse 18, one day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. And they left their net at once and followed him. A little farther up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets, and he called them to come too. They immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. Jack, Mark 2.
Then Jesus went out to the lake shore again and taught the crowds that were coming to him. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Levi got up and followed.
Okay, thank you. So I see this pattern here. Jesus saying, follow me, follow me, follow me, to all his disciples. And to me, anyone that repents and turns to God, that, you know, that's another person Jesus saying, follow me. I don't think any Christian, anyone that calls himself a Christian, is kind of exempt from that. We're all called to follow him. Otherwise, you know, what's a disciple, what's a Christian if they're not a disciple? I don't understand that. I think that's where I was for the first 38 years of my life. I call myself a Christian, but I wasn't really a disciple. So I think God was saying, follow me all along, and I didn't really get it, or he didn't really reveal that to me until I was 38. I don't completely understand this, folks. All I'm saying is I think we're all called to follow Jesus. We're called to leave our nets and follow him. Levi got up from his table of work and followed him. And this is a mindset. It's not necessarily about quitting your job. And I'm not going to tell people to quit their job unless that's what the Holy Spirit wants them to do. I think certain people are called to quit their jobs. And prostitutes are called to just stop doing what they're doing because, you know, it's just not, you know, a good thing to do, obviously. And then, so I think for certain people, this is going to be different. But we need to let go of what else has, you know, really grabbed us. For the workaholic, let go of your job. You know, not necessarily physically, not necessarily sign your resignation, but you need to take a stand and say, look, 50 hours is too much for me. I have a wife, I have kids, I have, you know, I have other things to do. And, you know, what I'm saying is it works out differently for different people. Andy, read Luke 9.
Verse 23, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me.
Thank you. Brooke, Galatians 2:20.
I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen. I just love that. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. No longer is it about us. It's about what Christ is doing in our life, allowing him to control us and lead us.